Good evening. You're watching The Big Fight, a show that is young at 22, the oldest running debate show on Indian news television. I'm Sanket Upadhyay. So let's just give you a brief history, just these past couple of days. What exactly has happened as far as Indian cricket is concerned? You know that Ravi Shastri, he contracted COVID. Then other team members, many others in fact, also were tested COVID positive. And thus, it gave rise to this doubt that did the Indian team not follow certain set protocols when you are on tour? All of this was being done. Amid all of this, the England Cricket Board on Thursday seemed to suggest that because many members in the Indian contingent have COVID, India must forfeit the match. However, later, when all players turned out to be negative, it was decided, no, we'll play the match. But now it has been decided that the match has been postponed. Now, this is, of course, the sequence of events. Our discussion today is not just restricted to this India versus England series. It's a much larger question. And for that, I would like to draw a parallel with the Olympics. So in Olympics, what happens is that you've got a 14-day bio bubble, not technically a bio bubble because there are lots of people, you're in a games village, but you stay largely confined. Those set of people stay confined for 14 days and a protocol is followed. The same drill is followed for Paralympics. In Paralympics, again, a 14-day bio bubble. You're supposed to stay confined in a village, a games village for 14 days. It's easy, some would say slightly difficult, but still relatively easy to keep people contained and together for 2 weeks, just 2 weeks. There's a bit of a festivity sort of an atmosphere. It's a festival-like atmosphere for 14 days and then it's over. Now let's come to Indian cricket. So as far as the men's cricket team is concerned, in the past 9 months, that is during the COVID period, it has stayed in six bio bubbles. Six. And the duration of these bio bubbles, for which they stay in the bio bubbles, is not 14 days. It ranges from 15 days to 45 days, depending on the duration of the tournament. Each bio bubble approximately is for 15 to 45 days. For 9 times, this has happened as far as the men's Indian cricket team is concerned. Now, just do a little bit of math and you would realize that's a lot of days in a bio bubble. And then what happens? You have issues where people are isolated, they cannot meet people, and all sorts of things that COVID has brought about. It leads to isolation, and in some cases, we've seen it has led to certain mental health issues as well in some athletes, not Indian athletes as of this moment, but in some athletes in the world. So the question on The Big Fight today is that when we propose to play cricket in the times of a pandemic, will there eventually be a bio bubble burst? Are we playing too much cricket in the times of a pandemic? That's the argument that we are making as of this moment. I would like to introduce all our guests. They're free to have their opinion. And we'll have a wide section of opinion from across the globe. I want to welcome Charu Sharma, cricket commentator. Amrit Mathur, advisor, Dream 11 and cricket administrator and also a columnist. Seth Bennett, BBC sports reporter. Thank you very much, Seth, for joining us. Rakesh Rao, deputy editor of The Hindu. Andrew Miller, he's the UK editor of ESPN Crick Info. And Pradeep Magazine, senior sports journalist, is going to join us in just a short moment. So the format on this show is that each one of you get 1 minute of guaranteed time to make your opening comment. We call it the first punch. We'll begin with you, Charu Sharma. Your time begins now.
Well, thank you, Sanket. I don't quite need a minute. However, in short, are we playing too much cricket? No. It's a profession. People who follow their profession need to follow it as much as is possible. I mean, can you imagine a news channel saying, well, these are tough times, pandemic times. Let's have news only once in 4 days. You have news every day and it's 24/7. So, you know, allow professionals their own space. In the times of pandemic, yes, is there more caution required? Absolutely. is the whole concept of the bio bubble as well as the quarantine very tough mentally? Yes, it is. Will it crack people up, cricketers? Yes, it could. It affect their mental health. About the test specifically, if it weren't for the World Test Championship points, I think there were both teams would just said, well, let's forget about it because it's not worth risking any further harm or damage because of COVID. It's a sad situation that some of the Indian team members did get COVID, or at least the support staff. And under normal circumstances, we'd have to realize that, you know, what's a test match? You mentioned the Olympics also earlier. What's a test match compared to the Olympics or compared to a pandemic? So, this needs to be taken in a lighter spirit, saying, all right, let's not get, you know, more damage done because of the pandemic. Fair let's enough. Just call this off. If at all possible in the future, we'll play the test match because points are important. Okay. Otherwise, let's remain safe.
Okay, Charles. Thank you. By the way, you completed your minute.
No.
Why are you sorry? It was guaranteed to you. Amrit Mathur, your opening comment.
Yeah, Sanket, you mentioned about whether we are playing too much sport, too much cricket during the pandemic. I don't agree. In fact, I agree with Charu that each sport has its schedule, it's a calendar through the year, and cricket is following it, just as golf is, just as football is, and just as tennis is. So sport carries on. It's not that we've added events in this pandemic year, nor have we curtailed the amount of cricket which everybody is playing. So each sport has its schedule and we are carrying on with it, which is, I think, normal. You do need to take precautions. And I agree with you and Charu that keeping in bubbles for a very long time is very difficult. It raises issues of mental health. And an example of that is Ben Stokes has pulled out from the English team, citing issues of remaining in bubble for a long time. Similar feelings have been expressed by cricketers in Australia and elsewhere. Strangely, and maybe fortunately, no Indian cricketer has complained about it. Though they've been in a bubble for such a long time, they have another 1 month of bubble for the IPL, then another month of bubble for the World Cup. So it's tough. But I think, it's a choice where a player feels that he cannot carry on in this restricted environment. I think the only option is for him to pull out. But the sport carries on, and I think that's the way all international sport is scheduled.
Sure. Okay. Seth Bennett.
Well, I think it's interesting. I don't think there's too much cricket being played at all, and I echo the sentiments of the other guys. I was working at the Olympics. I had to go through that 14-day period where I wasn't able to do an awful lot outside of the hotel and working at the various venues, and it's hard. It's really, really hard work to make sure that mentally you're in the place you need to be able to do your job. But what I would say, one of the biggest challenges that we're starting to face now is not like during the depths of lockdowns. Each country now has different situations. You know, in the UK right now, I can go to any restaurant and any pub. I can sit down this evening and share an evening with my friends. That's got to be a lot harder if you're in a bubble in a hotel and you're witnessing everything else going on around you, where normal life is happening, where Old Trafford would have been absolutely full to the gunnels today of people being there and celebrating being at the cricket. So I think this is one of the big challenges that they've got. Is there too much cricket? No. Is there bio bubble fatigue? Yes. Is it dangerous for the players' mental health? Undoubtedly.
All right. Rakesh Rao, what do you feel?
Yeah, see, for me, too much cricket? No, I won't say that, because I would like to say that, see, this is what is planned. You look at golf, you look at tennis, the whole calendar is there. The players have a choice to play or not to play. Same thing is with the cricket calendar also. And every country, when they say that we are going to play during these times and you know the kind of challenges you have the bio bubble, you have restrictions all over, you still make a choice. Now, Indians, especially, I'm talking about the Indian team here, Indians have played a bit of cricket, yes. And the reason is, do they have a choice? Can they say no? At the face of it, yes, they do have a choice, but who will say no? Because once you say no, you are not guaranteed that your place will be kept for you. That doesn't happen anymore. So they play, but the fact is, given a choice, would they play? If the stakes are not so high, would they play? But then, yes, the challenges are there. The stakeholders want you to play. And then that is where, despite the postponement of the IPL, they still could get a window where they could continue with the IPL. So that answers it.
Okay. Andrew Miller.
Very interesting listening to what you've got to say about is there too much cricket. I think of course there's too much cricket. I mean, it's not simply that it's one team playing too much cricket. It's different formats playing too many times. I mean, we've got the IPL starting in 9 days' time. India have been over here in England. I think they gathered in India to come over here back in middle of May. They've been in here on the road incessantly. England have been on the road incessantly. We've already had a situation whereby they've been going into this rest and rotation policy to try and make sure they mitigate the impact of not just the mental, but the physical impact of just constant training, constant on the road, constant hearing, to-ing and fro-ing. These players are not robots. Much as we would like them to be robots, they are not robots. You rely on the fact that they are in a good mental space to get the very best out of them. It just so happens in this series, Joe Root is in the form of his life. He's in an incredible mental space, incredible achievement for him to be able to front up and carry the England team. But Ben Stokes, we've already mentioned him in passing. Ben Stokes has basically decided, you know what, I'm in the prime of my career, but I just cannot put up with this. This is intolerable. Do you want to kill off the competitive juices of these players? Or do you want to get them at their best as much as possible? I'd rather the latter, personally.
I think that's I tend to agree with you. And since I'm openly expressing this bias towards Mr. Miller, I could have given him a few more seconds. But thank you for completing on time. Let me quickly come back to Charu. Charu, you compared this to news, right? Now, news is an essential service. We had an exception One more. Let me make my argument. You can counter the argument, but let me make my, make my argument. News was an essential service where we had an exemption from the government of India to go about and send the message to the people. There is no comparison between something which is done for entertainment and something which is a social service. That is news. That is point number one, as far as your comparison on news is concerned.
Secondly, I got your back up there, haven't I? Sorry? I got your back up there, sorry.
No, you haven't. Just making my argument. My point, Charu, over here is, these are difficult and different times. It's not normal. You can't have business as usual. Even in the news business, for that matter, we are not business as usual. There are certain changes that need to be made. Fine, there's a calendar in place, but I would like to draw your attention to the IPL. When people were dying in Delhi, there was, ambulances, medical staff. And I remember you were on a debate with me when we were discussing this. So many resources that were put in so that this game can go on. Do you feel that is the problem? This feeling that the BCCI seems to be in some sort of a bio bubble or economic bubble, or I don't know what bubble, that the game must go on irrespective of what is happening.
Well, I think you could say the same thing of the Tokyo Olympics. It actually went on regardless of what was happening. There were quite a few people who were struck down with COVID there as well, but it carried on. So, I don't want to treat sport as something that's played on a different planet. It's played right here on Earth. And it is something which I suppose is sort of a last bastion of hope and positivity that, yes, it's still going on and we're still hopeful and we're still positive. I'm not too sure about the Delhi example. I agree that, there were resources that could have been used elsewhere. But I'm sure that the IPL resources were not the only leakage of resources at that point of time. There are many other areas which draw resources away. So I'm not condoning the fact that the IPL could perhaps have not at that point being held. But, I don't know how to say this without sounding callous, and I don't want to sound callous, but there is so much death and devastation and destruction that's going on in our world all the time. So by that regard, we should never, ever be playing sport because there's some flood somewhere or some calamity somewhere else. And people say, why are you playing sport and entertaining people when, there's been a flood somewhere in another part of a country or the world? I do think that you have to allow different professions to do what they're doing if they're not seriously compromising one or the other. Now, in England, of course, if there's a feeling that the ECB has that, now our own safety, the safety of our players may be compromised if, we continue playing with the Indians, then that's why the controversy. But, it can just be played later, for heaven's sake. So it's the World Test Championship. That's a bit of a problem. There was another point which I've forgotten. But anyway, so let it be later.
Can I
interject
there?
Yes,
Andrew, please. How on earth can this be played later? I hear your comparison with the Olympics. I don't see any correlation between the Olympics at all. The Olympics is 2 weeks,
correct,
4 years that these athletes train for. They're one moment in the spotlight. Cricket is all year round. How can you postpone this and say, we'll have it next week? Next week, everyone's going to be in India for the IPL. Week after that, India are off to the World Test, the T20 World Cup. Then they're off to New Zealand. England are off to the Ashes. There's no space to shift one tournament to the next moment. There is no wriggle room. And so we decide the most important tournament. Is it the IPL? Is it a five test series? Is it the Olympics? You know, there's no comparison between the two.
Would you want to respond to that, Charu?
Or just very quickly, I'm not suggesting that people postpone, you know, to the next week or two or three. If they find a window for it in the future, great. If India ever goes to England again, play that test match along with the white ball series next year. But it's not important. I'm not suggesting that it must be played. I'm just saying you find a window for it, play it. Otherwise, let's not hold one test match which has been postponed or whatever it is now as the most important, you know, item on the Indian calendar or the UK
My only argument
ever.
Here, as Mr. Pradeep Magazine also
happens,
joins us. Can't we pace things out a little? You know, the point that Andrew Miller is making, I mean, you can have a back-to-back calendar, a calendar of events, super exciting moment for everyone. Fans are happy. Lots of cricket to watch
happen
on TV.
That's
at
okay,
what cost?
Sanket. If it doesn't happen, that's okay. I mean, I'm not saying that, oh my God, the test match must happen tomorrow or day after. If it doesn't happen at all, if India doesn't play any test matches against the UK in the next 200 years, that's okay. Not a problem. I mean,
Tell that to Old Trafford. Tell that to the administrators at Old Trafford who are facing multi-million-pound losses.
C'est la vie.
Cancellation on the morning of the match. There's an awful lot of money at stake here. It doesn't
absolutely matter. And because there is a lot of money at stake, that's why you have a lot of these matches. It's very simple. This is economics at play, cricket economics at play. Pradeep Magazine is now with us, senior sports journalist. Mr. Magazine, I would like to first offer you the 1 minute uninterrupted time to make your opening comment. The argument that we are making, and I'm making against three gentlemen right here, is that, four actually, that you have a 14-day Olympic, and Andrew seems to agree with me, it's a small event, two-week event. Then Paralympics, two-week event. It's easy to manage this bio bubble. It's for 2 weeks. And then you have cricket where you have a bubble after a bubble after a bubble, and just keeps going on. That's the nature of the sport. So in that case, Mr. Magazine, do you feel or do you not that cricket administrators should pace things out a little, spread them a little?
Well, yes, they should. Actually, if you look at our cricketers, they have been, I was listening, I joined late and my audio was not working. So I don't know what was presented by other speakers. I heard Andrew and Charu. So I don't know what happened, what was talked, but I do feel that because cricket is played so much, even otherwise cricket is played excessively. There is no comparison with, say, Olympics, which is held once in 4 years for 15 days. So those bio bubbles are very different and they can be managed. Here, cricketer is for entire year after year, he's not at home. And in a situation like this, where there is COVID, where there is a bio bubble, obviously we are putting excessive pressure on them, and they are human. If the Indian cricketers refuse to play this test match, maybe they were pushed to a wall. And then, see, if a lot of people are accusing them that they are preferring IPL to test cricket, I think the other way to look around is that they have to play IPL, no matter. It's not just a question of money, because the board has scheduled it. They have to go there and they have to manage their time. And if they fear that by playing here now, there is a possibility that they will get infected by COVID, because some of their other coaches and other staff members are, I think their fears are justified. Their family is there. England withdrew from South Africa because of the same reason. I wish and hope this was managed better. It looks terrible that on the day of the test match, a cricket team can't play it or says that they won't play it. It's very bad. It presents a bad picture of cricket. And I think the administrators should share a bit of responsibility and be more sensitive towards the players' concerns and their needs, especially in this present time.
And just to take your point forward and ask this question of Mr. Rao. Mr. Rao, I would like to read out the schedule of the Indian team from here on. And let me just read out.
Okay.
T20 World Cup, October to November 2021. By the way, from September to October, IPL 2021. Then T20 World
That's
Cup.
The IPL first,
then
yeah.
New Zealand Tour of India, November 21. India tour of South Africa, December to January 22. West Indies tour of India, January to February 2022. Sri Lanka tour of India, February 2022. New Zealand ODI tour of India, March 2022. IPL 2022, March to May. India ODI and T20 tour of England, July 2022. I mean,
that's right.
You know, this is as packed as any other day. And we seem to have forgotten Absolutely. That there is a pandemic and this will involve bio bubbles. Do you think that this is a
you're
problem?
Right. You're spot on. Yeah, see, we have this kind of schedule which is known. See, what I'm trying to say is the players have a choice to say no. But what we are looking at is, why should a player say no? So far, have you ever heard players complaining of too much cricket, COVID or no COVID? Just imagine, I mean, we have been seeing it for so long. People have been talking about too much cricket, except the cricketers. They are bound by certain contracts. Even that allows them to choose, but they don't. They have a choice to make, but they choose to play on. Now, when you say that this is what it is like, because the people still feel that we need to play because our careers are short. We need to keep everybody happy, including the, you know, the franchisees with whom you have already signed the contract or you are getting paid to play. Now, so many things happening there. You can't, we can take a very, very simplistic view of saying there is danger all over, but you are at risk. Yes, you have to undergo from a bubble to another bubble and so on because you continue to play. No, all these are well known. You are dealing with full-grown men, mature men. Can't they decide? But they know the stakes. You know, they know what is there at stake. Now, that is exactly what I want to say, that we can go on debating that there is too much cricket or not, but how many times do cricketers complain? Nobody complains, except the big ones will say, I'm not available for this series. Like Virat Kohli said, I'm not going to be available for the remainder of the Australian tour after the first test. He had a reason to, and he was allowed to go. Otherwise, how many people have left it out of choice?
So, doesn't that answer your own question?
Players left to them would make that choice, but in the given circumstances, they wouldn't, so they'll play on.
Was that Andrew?
Yeah, sorry. Yes. Doesn't that answer your own question? How many players speak out? Only the ones who can afford to. Ben Stokes can afford to.
That's what I'm trying to say, yeah.
I'm well enough paid, I'm famous enough, I can speak out here. Virat Kohli can speak out. Other players will not speak out because it's not in their interest to, because they have a contract. Doesn't mean they're happy with the situation. That's mad. It's like, you know, you can't assume that just because someone's employed, they're happy with their employment. It's, you know, the system overloading players. That is a given. We can see that with our bare eyes just from the situations come out here, the situation that came out with England left with South Africa, wasn't it, in December last year. Similar circumstances, they reached the end of their tether, thought, you know what, Christmas is coming, we cannot face playing these games, we're going to go home on a pretext of COVID, but whatever. It's clear the schedule is straining, and to say that the players aren't speaking out, therefore they're happy with it, I don't think you can put
I agree with you, Andrew. Seth, let me go to Seth. Seth, do you think that it is a good argument to put this on the players, that if you don't agree, then say it. Say that you don't want to play.
Well, I think it's always important that you should be able to have those conversations. And whether it's the smallest players or the biggest players in the team, you know, you look at other conversations that cricketers are getting involved in right now because they believe it is the right thing to do, whether that's equality across, you know, the globe and in various parts of society, or whether that's equality in the game, or whether that's the amount of cricket that's being played, they should feel empowered to do that. But I think if you look at other sports, maybe you can get an idea. Major League Baseball season, 162 games, not played in bio bubbles. Now, teams have found ways to get around this. There have been cases of COVID throughout, but they've found different ways to negotiate their way through it. And maybe one of the problems for cricket is cricket has had these bio bubbles for years anyway. You go and play in the IPL, you're not just walking down the street of Delhi to go and get something from the local shop, are you? It's almost impossible. You're stuck in your team hotel and you're there for a long period of time. You go to the airport, you jump on a plane, you go to another hotel, you stay there for a long period of time. You stay in your team rooms, you go back to your hotel room. So I think that cricket maybe has to look a little bit differently, take its lead from other sports now. And the point I was making before is to me, this isn't a question about whether or not there's too much cricket and whether there's COVID in the Indian camp right now. India are in a country that doesn't have hardly any COVID regulations anymore. And so how hard is it for them to stay locked up in a hotel when the rest of the country is living a normal life, pretty close to? And that's one of the questions about how do you look at this? You know, how much of an impact is that going to have on them? And is it not just inevitable that there are more likely to be cases of COVID? In the same way, my son went to school for the first time last week, and there is more chance of him catching COVID now than there was previously. But you still send him to school because that's the right thing to do, but you understand what the situation is. And the question is for the players, do they feel safe enough with the measures that are in place? And the other question out there is, actually, how dangerous is it playing cricket? In terms of, it is one of these sports that you can socially distance in, and there is a way to play without ever coming within 2 meters of any other player. So to me, there's an awful lot of questions that could allow cricket to continue going, whether that's bigger squads, different ways of doing things. But it's not just a question about the amount of cricket and COVID. The amount of cricket is a different subject altogether. COVID is a different subject altogether.
Fair enough. Points made. I understand the argument that you're making, and also the point that actually in cricket you can maintain the social distancing. But the point is, Mr. Amrit Mathur, the manner in which we are dealing with this situation. For instance, for the ECB to say that you forfeit the match, however, that never happened, right? Obviously, we are still trying to figure out a way on how to deal with the situation when in the middle of a series, you will have a situation where there will be a few people contracting COVID. So do you feel that this is something to learn for the future, where you sit down and think of these possibilities?
Well, I can understand India objecting to forfeiture, because forfeiture has a definite meaning that the other team has been declared the winner. So I don't think the Indian team wanted that. Secondly, you know, forfeiture also, I think, involves a lot of insurance issues. You know, I've been with the IPL team for 5 years. We've insured our games against riots, against natural disasters, against you know, any other eventuality. I don't think we've ever insured against forfeiture. So I can understand why the initial statement about forfeiture was withdrawn and the term used is cancelled. Forfeiture also involves points, because this is a series which is part of the World Test Championships. So if India forfeits the game, England gets those points, which also becomes a problem. But I want to come back to the certain points made by others in the discussion. Firstly, there was an unfair comparison between cricket, the test series, the non-stop you know, commitments of the players, and the Olympics. I think it's unfair because each sport has its own dynamics, its own schedule, and it's played in a different manner. So I don't think you can compare Olympics with cricket. Just to give you an example, after the Olympics, the Indian athletes are back, and I don't think that they've gone back to training, whereas Aditi Ashok, who competed, has already played 2 tournaments after Tokyo. So she's part of the golf circuit. She knows that she has to keep competing to earn points, to further her career. So that's one. Secondly, there was this thing about Indian cricket team playing too much cricket compared to others. And you listed out the entire calendar from now till the next July when we go back to England. I think if you look at the schedules and the calendars of other countries, they'd practically be the same. I think each country is on like a treadmill, running fast, going from one tournament to the other, one event to the other. That's how the beast is. It is driven by economics. It is driven by every stakeholder wanting sport. Whether it's
no, Mr. Amrit Mathur, but I hope you realize these are humans playing.
I know, but there is an answer. But till now, if you recall, there is a lot of discussion about workload management. You have 5 pace bowlers. You play 2. You rest some other, and you manage his workload. I think going forward, you'll also start managing their mental workload and deciding that if somebody is affected by being in a bubble for a long time, if there are issues of that nature, maybe you give them a break. So I'm sure there is work to be done, and everybody learned from the experience the players have gone through. One last point I want to make. Very often a cricketer is criticized who are running after money, being, you know, too money-minded, and then they won't say no to a series or no to a match or no to an IPL because of the money involved. The clarification I want to make is, as far as the IPL is concerned, and the Indian team in England, they are totally protected, whether they play the IPL or not. These are centrally contracted BCCI players, and they're guaranteed their contracted amounts. Even if they don't turn up for the IPL because of an injury, because of a mental health issue, because of a family emergency, so they're protected. So I don't think we can use this weapon that our players are too money-minded and they'll do anything to play the IPL. That's not the case.
Okay. Now, Pradeep Magazine, let's talk solutions also here. See, the point is to assume that because players are not speaking up, that's why there is no problem, may not be correct. Ideally, they should, but there should ideally be an environment also for them to be able to speak up and for them to know that there won't be any action that will follow against them. Maybe many players don't feel confident enough to come up and air this concern. So what, according to you, could be the possible solutions from here on so that playing cricket does not become a monstrosity in itself?
Look, this talk of overburdening cricketers has been going on for years. And the answer from the establishment
is
that...
in the context of COVID and the fact that there exists a bio bubble.
COVID makes it more complicated, but in any case, we treat our cricketers like robots because they generate money, and we feel that we are so generous that we help them make so much of money. How dare they say no? And these are cricketers, like it's like you employed in a job, I employed somewhere. I know if I speak up, I may lose my job. If my perks are very good, the greater the possibility that I'm not going to speak because I'm being compensated hugely. But is this the right way? We all know it's not the right way. You ask anyone here, they will tell you, yes, these are insane schedules. But the answer is that they will have to deal with it. Like Amrit is saying that, look, we'll have to mentally train them. We'll have to tell them that, look, yes, we are treating you as a beast of burden, but we are paying you so much money, and if you don't play, we have other hundreds as replacements, especially India. India can now afford to have teams for different formats. There is this, people are saying that they should have two test teams because so many great numbers are playing. So there are solutions. Solution is to realize that these are players, these are human beings, but I don't think that's going to happen. What's going to happen is that the hold of commerce, the hold of money is so much on cricket because everyone is making money. So why should they let it go? So players will have to deal with it. As Andrew was saying, that people who can afford to speak, Ben Stokes can say, I won't play because he's so precious for the England team that they will allow him a year's rest. Other cricketers can't. Virat Kohli can if he wants to. So it will go on like this. Solutions are very simple. But the commerce of the game doesn't allow those solutions
to come to the fore. That's very important. You know, here, there are a lot of gentlemen who feel that, you know, this argument being made of too much cricket is not correct. I understand and respect the points that are being made. But, you know, for us to conclude that there is no problem, that is incorrect. And Andrew Miller, I want to come to you now and use this platform to perhaps make certain suggestions to the BCCI, whether they listen or not, or to the English Cricket Board. Whether they listen to you or not, you know, it is, we are well within our right to at least suggest. What would you suggest?
It's such a good question. I don't know what I suggest because I think the issue is there are three different formats of the game now. Each of them is precious to different people. Test cricket is my absolute favourite. Five test series, such as the one that we were having at the moment and the Ashes coming up. That's my lifeblood when it comes to cricket. It will be my lifeblood for the rest of my cricket watching days. I would be devastated if test cricket got squeezed to allow other formats to breathe more easily. But at the same time, you've got the IPL, which is clearly a huge money spinner, a huge issue for younger fans, particularly in subcontinent, but even over here as well, a huge number of kids who've grown into cricket have grown into the IPL first and foremost. Likewise, you've got the 100 coming up. And then you've got 50 over cricket, which England are world champions in, and you can't, you know, regardless of the result, you can't deny that you entertained at Lords last in 2019. So all of these different formats have serious merit. How do you
Oh dear, we are losing that signal on Andrew Miller. We'll come back to you, Andrew. We seem to be losing your audio and video connection. Charu Sharma, I want to come to you now. What do you feel? I mean, would you or would you not have some amount of compassion for those players who may not be speaking right now because they can't? They are contractually bound. That's why they're not. Whereas they're facing the problem.
Sanket, what a shame that you lost Andrew, your big ally here. And you come to, and you come to me at great peril. So let me say this, that one of the sweetest things in the world is to have your cake and eat it too. So please understand the concept of profession. And you say, let me talk to the cricketers or the board or whatever. I have a suggestion for NDTV. Sure. To offer you a fat contract of multiple crores in a year and say, listen, you can come to work a day or two if you like, or if you don't want to, that's fine. Or the fact that if you come to work a little less than you are now, you'll be half your salary. And if you come a little less as well, because COVID's pretty tough, then you'll get a quarter of your salary. What will you do? You know, most people, if you understand the concept of profession and demand and supply, will say, hey, I'm going to work my backside off to ensure that my profession continues as vibrantly as possible. Hmm. The cricketers want the same thing. Every once in a while, only those who are paid excessively or on a very high salary and are assured of a place in the team will say, listen, I don't really like what's going on. I'm going to back off for a while. But of course, there are 10,000 other youngsters who say, for heaven's sake, you know, put me in there. You want me to play about 4,000 days a year? I'll play 4,000 days a year.
Charu.
But I need to. So please understand that in the world of sport, too, people are desperate to play as much as is possible. And if this COVID thing had not been there, we would, you know, we talk about too much cricket. It's a demand and supply thing. If the Cricket Board of India or other boards are playing too much cricket, you're at liberty to either watch or not. If you're going to do 24 hours of news, I'm at liberty to watch only 1 hour or not at all. So it's a demand and supply thing. The
Charu,
board, cricket boards, or various
agree,
boards.
You know, one
all yours.
Charu, my little submission here, my two bits, if you allow me. The point is that yes, when there will be a lucrative offer, one would be tempted to accept it. But at the same time, one has to have assurance of certain ground rules. And in this new reality called COVID, one expects, you know, these decisions to be taken by getting all these boards together, where you decide that the next time something like this happens, for instance, why did this whole four-feature argument happen? Because there was not a collective decision. Nobody saw that a situation like this will happen. And I feel, and I thus conclude, we were playing too much cricket. We were so busy playing cricket and we scheduled so much cricket that we never thought of the players. See, these are human beings, Charu. That's the point that I'm making. Why can't we all sit together and thrash this out and then play as much cricket as you want? Set those rules in place. Charu.
Oh, you want to come back to me?
Yeah, I want to come back to you.
Of course, these are human beings, and like any other professional human beings, they want to maximize their potential. And like many other professions where human beings work, you know, their professions 40 years in the cricketer on an average, even if you do make the national team or some kind of, you know, T20 league, is what, you know, 2, 3, 4 years on an average. Some play for 10, some play for 24, but on average, 5 years. So give them their due. They want it as quickly as possible. It's just that if it's too much, they will back off or people will stop watching or whatever else it is. But, you know, I know the times are tough and it's COVID situation and it, you know, there were lockdowns and there are quarantines. And these are situations that people haven't handled before. So we all have to be kind of a little generous for all the stakeholders here. We have to say, all right, everybody's struggling. What is right? What is wrong? What is too much? What is not? And if this COVID thing had not happened to the support staff, you know, we'd be watching day one today and saying, wow, what a performance. But it's a rarity, and we've got to deal with these kind of, you know, once-in-a-lifetime, hopefully, situations with a little more generosity, you know, because nobody really knows what's going on, rather than, you know, try and find who's at fault here, what's going on. But as a sports person, let me assure you that you want to maximize your activity as much as is possible. If you are very well paid and you're assured of a certain spot, if I'm assured of a, you know, semi-final spot in a tennis tournament every time, I'll land up only for the semi-final. Mm-hmm. But I'm not. I have to play round 1, 2, 3, 4, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, and it's a brutal sport. Let's not say that, you know, these cricketers are, oh my God, they're so... I mean, it's a relatively soft sport, if I can say so. I love cricket like I love many other sports. It's a relatively soft sport. There are many other very tough sports. So going day in and day out.
Sure.
So, and they are backing off. They're saying, bring it on, because this is what we do.
Okay. Let me quickly go back to Andrew, because we lost his connection. So that he can complete his point. Andrew, you were saying.
Well, I forgot.
We lost you again. I'm gonna have to come back to you. My little ally in this debate. This is a conspiracy by Mr. Charu Sharma to make sure that this point of view doesn't go across. Seth Bennett. Suggestions. See, obviously we're looking at suggestions. Yeah.
I think the first suggestion is that you don't cross Charu because he can get involved with all of your technicals and ruin the rest of your program. The second lesson that we learned here is that if you need an agent, Charu's your man because he can get you a load more money. The reality with cricket, is there too much cricket? Undoubtedly. But the cricketers now have to choose what they're going to do. And the boards have to decide what they're going to do. For me, it's two separate issues. The amount of cricket is one. How you play cricket in COVID is an entirely different situation. If you look at this series, it's been some of the most entertaining test cricket I've seen in a very, very long time. You know, Jasprit Bumrah's spell on that final day at the Oval will live with me for a very long time. I'm absolutely gutted that we've not got 5 days of cricket at Old Trafford, because I thought that was going to be the end of an absolutely phenomenal, phenomenal series. And I'm struggling to get past that. I hope everybody that struggled with COVID within the Indian team, and by the sounds of things, everybody seems to be okay, and it's not too serious at this point. But for me, I'm really sad that the cricket's not taking place, and I'm struggling to get beyond that feeling at the moment.
Sure. Mr. Rao.
See, for me, you know, you all have been saying the solution part. Sanket, for me, you know, first of all, when you look at a problem and when you are searching for a solution, first and the foremost prerequisite is that are you honest enough to look for a solution? Here, what I'm trying to say is, when in the middle of the second wave, when IPL could have been postponed by 1 year, we all know what happened. It was, you know, everybody was thinking, all the stakeholders had meeting, then of course the broadcast, everything happened the way the broadcasters put pressure, and then it was taken to UAE and the games were held. If we're really honest and thinking about the players, you know, after all, they're human beings, we've heard it a million times, where is the solution lie? Are we going to look at the commerce behind it? Or are we going to look at lives? Life and livelihood, this debate we've had from the beginning of it. Everybody had to deal with it. The only reason why we are having this again,
fine, it's a cricketer's choice that, you know, this is his lifespan and he has to play a lot of cricket in a limited amount of time and then after that do whatever he wants. Here we have the added problem of a pandemic, Mr. Rao.
His career is too short. Completely second, that's what I'm saying. Does he have a choice? Amrit said, you have a contract that makes it secure for you, even if you don't turn up for reason A, B, or C, you are going to get the same amount. It is not just about adding to your balance. It is also about performing, being seen as a performer and being considered for the next series. Because unless you are seen performing, the memory of the people is so short. Once you are out of the frame, you are forgotten. So the person is not only bothered about the kind of, you know, check that he's going to get at the end of the day, he also wants to be seen as a performing cricketer. That's why he needs opportunities. And
I'll come back to you, Seth. One moment. Mr. Amrit Mathur wanted to come.
Yeah, you know, we are talking solutions. I want to make 2 points. I think it's futile to talk about reducing the amount of cricket because of commerce or whatever reason. The amount of cricket will stay. It's a treadmill which is running. You can't stop it. The solution lies elsewhere. The solution lies with individual cricket boards, the BCCI, for instance. They have about 30 cricketers who are centrally contracted. They are the main assets of Indian cricket. I think there's a need to start a conversation with each of those 30 to decide and discuss about the amount of cricket they are comfortable with. So if somebody has an issue because of physical reasons, in terms of workload management, injuries, etc., you give them breaks at the right time. Similarly, if somebody can't take the pressure of being in bubbles and the mental health issues that crop up, then again, you talk to him, discuss with him, and work out a schedule for him over a year. Sure. I think that's the way to manage it. Cricket will carry on. I think only the players can rotate and change. So I think that is something individual boards can do. And I'm sure some of the boards are actually doing it, whether it's implemented today or tomorrow.
The reason why I started this discussion was, you know, to take it beyond just Old Trafford. the idea was to talk about, you know, the mental health aspect as well. In a bio bubble, I can only imagine how difficult it is going to be when you are cut up from the rest of the world. Seth, and then my dear friend Andrew Miller once again. Seth first.
You're absolutely right about bio bubbles. They've had their day, and they need to move on because they are bad for your mental health. The question I have for everybody that's on the show right now is this. If the IPL weren't on the way in 9 days' time, would we be having this discussion? Would we be in a position where this test series was going to be left unfinished?
Final comment, Mr. Andrew Miller. Let's see if he's back on with us. Andrew, can you hear me?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes,
Is it working for you this
yes,
time?
Yes, one last attempt.
I can hear you loud and clear.
Fantastic. One last attempt, yes.
So one last attempt. One thing I will say, everyone has said pretty much everything we can hope for, but I refer you to Jurgen Klopp's comments today in Liverpool's press conference this morning. I recommend you go and seek them out. Fascinating comments. He spoke a monologue for about 2 minutes. He's basically talking about the proposal for two World Cups every two-year cycles for World Cups. He basically said, the only thing that's driving us is money. You've got to look after the players at some stage because the players ultimately are what drive the whole industry. And I recommend his comments. He could have been talking exactly about cricket situation at the moment, sure. Even down to the fact claiming that football's the only sport that is on a 24/7 treadmill. It really isn't. An awful lot are, in cricket included.
Absolutely. Mr. Pradeep Magazine, Andrew Miller, Rakesh Rao, Seth Bennett, Amrit Mathur, and Mr. Charu Sharma, thank you very much. You were all very kind. That's a wrap in this edition of The Big Fight, but news continues on the other side. Stay with us.